Today's scripture reading is from Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and not on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruits in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
Today is a day devoted to love. Just like every Sunday, the Lord's Day, the greatest love known to any of us, the love of our God and Father, the love of our Savior, who did so much, who are doing so much, so that we might be saved. And yes, there are other things that go on in our world that are worthy of note, but that is most important. The love of God and how it reaches out to us constantly. And that's why we're here together today, to worship God, to praise Him, to say thank you, Lord, for loving us as you do. I need to begin with an apology. I forgot to put on something red today. Is that not, it looks like most, well, a lot of you did. Not everybody did. Some of you are like me. But I guess the dress is not quite as important as what's in our hearts. But we are so happy to have days where we can tell others that we love them, we appreciate them. Although, why do we have to wait for this one day of the year? Why can't we do it every day? We hope you'll come back and join us this evening at 6 o'clock. We don't know what the weather will do, of course. There is talk about snow this afternoon and maybe some freezing rain. So use good judgment. That's the best we can say. I probably will be able to make it here, so if you'd like to come and join me, that's fine. But please be safe. We will not have time to clear the parking lot, probably not do much with the sidewalks, if anything happens. So use your good judgment, but if you come, know that I'm going to be here, and we will worship God together. But I hope you'll be here if conditions permit. We're going to talk about angels again. We began the series last month, only had one in the series, but tonight we're going to continue that and talk about angels who fell. And there is information in the Word of God about that, and that's something that many of us are interested in. So come back and join us this evening if you're able. Now get your Bible out. Let's turn together in the Word of God. Let's find out things that will help us as we try to grow in our understanding of God's Word and live according to His ways. Now, many of us have purchased in the past a plant, whether it be at Evergreen or some other nursery center, and we find it and we say, that's just exactly what I want. I want that. I love that kind of plant. I want to keep it for a long time because it's quite a bit of money. And then a few weeks later, a few months, something like this happens. And we're so disappointed because we really wanted that plant. Well, could we not have consulted with an expert? Could we not have looked around and said, can you help me with this? I have a plant that is withering. It looks like it's about to die. Can you give me some advice? And we have people here in the congregation that are experts when it comes to plants. And I think most of us would say, well, yeah, we could have done that. You see, it didn't have to be that way, maybe. And yet, sometimes we have relationships that we value. Relationships that we hope will last for the rest of our lives. But like that plant, they begin to wither and it looks like they're going to die. Does it have to be that way? Or is there something that we could find that would make our love an evergreen love? Now, we're not talking about relationships where there's been a death or somebody has moved away. Of course, those things are going to happen. But what if we're right near each other still? There's still the opportunity, and yet something has happened to cause that relationship to wither. It's on the verge of dying. And we're not just talking about marriages either. We're talking about any valuable relationship. And they all ought to be valuable. Because God's word says so much about the idea of love and how relationships are to be based on that. What could we have done differently? Is there hope of having evergreen love? Let's look at that together in the Word of God. We're going to begin by talking about how loving relationships can wither and die. And let's just be clear, not all relationships are based on love. I mean, we have working relationships, don't we? Where we happen to work at the same job and we see the same people day in, day out, and it's not, you know, a relationship that we value, although it can turn into that. Or sometimes it's a relationship like at a ball game. We happen to be in the same venue, watching the same game, and we have a relationship. We cheer at the same time. We boo together. But when the game's over, we go our different ways, and nobody's really that sad about that. But there are some relationships in our lives that are based on love. And that ought to grow, that ought to increase in strength as time goes by. And yet sometimes things happen to cause that love to wither and even die. In the Bible, we see evidence of that. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus was talking about how things were going to get tough for the disciples and at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. And he says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. And he had said earlier in verse 10, many would betray one another and hate one another. And the idea is that they once had loved each other, but now look at how they're acting toward each other. They are hating each other. They're angry. They're betraying each other. And that's not the way it should be. It was because of the stress, because of the lawlessness, the sin that was increasing. And then you go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, and again, this idea of love that is withering, that is about to die. He's talking to the Christians in the church at Ephesus, and he notes how they've been so active, been doing so many things, and yet he says in verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned. You have abandoned the love that you had at first. Now, what had caused them to abandon that love, he doesn't say specifically. We could speculate, but the point is, they had abandoned that love. They once were motivated by it. They once were focused on it, but not so much anymore. And that's not right. That's not the way it should be. Jesus says as much. And in both of these cases, in Matthew 24 and in Revelation 2, the word for love is that word agape, the highest form of love, you might say. And yet look at what's happening to it. It is withering. It is on the verge of dying. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, we see another instance of this love that withers, that dies. 2 Samuel 13, we meet a young man named Amnon. He is the son of King David in a very privileged position. And it tells us early in the chapter that he looked upon his sister, his half-sister to be exact, Tamar, who was a very beautiful young lady. And it says twice in the opening verses of that chapter, he loved her. He was looking for an opportunity to be with her. And then finally he made it happen and he raped her. And then after she began weeping, began pleading with him to do the right thing, in 2 Samuel 13 and verse 15, it says, then Amnon hated her with very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. What happened? Love at first, was it really? Doesn't really look like it, but, you know, we can't judge. But you see, it changed into hatred. And that's what happens with human relationships sometimes, is the love grows cold. The love is abandoned. The love turns into hatred. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, although the word love does not appear there, it doesn't take a lot of surmising to see that that could happen, because there Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And yet when you have parents who are provoking their children, who are doing the wrong things, who are putting the emphasis on the wrong things and moving them to anger, what does that do to love? Well, the idea is that there's a lot of things that can happen, and a relationship that was originally based upon love can now be moved to something quite different. And if we picture that love as a plant, it's no longer thriving. It is withered. It is about to die. Is there any hope for that kind of situation? Well, turn back to the passage that Austin read for us a few minutes ago in Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, and you'll see this says, yes, there is hope. Now again, the word love doesn't appear, but it is contained in the wording. Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. That's the idea of evergreen. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now, could that include the idea of loving relationships? That I have begun a relationship, that I want to be based on love, and now things are going awry. Is there any way to bring it back to where it once was? In all that he does, he prospers. And why? Because he meditates on the law of the Lord. He delights in the law of the Lord. That's what guides his life. And that's what guides his relationships. And I like the way God stated it in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 8. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 8. And if you're turning there, just stay there, because we're going to stay there in just a few moments. But in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 8, God says to his people Israel, O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. In other words, everything you need, I can give it to you. I want to give it to you. I am evergreen in the way that I feel toward you. My love does not wither. My love does not die. Even though I must punish at times, God's love is like an evergreen cypress, he says. And the idea, therefore, is clear that if we would turn to the Word of God, if we would allow God to instruct us, to teach us, then yes, there is hope for relationships that once were beautiful, they were green and thriving, and yet now they are withered. Is there any hope? Yes. And let's turn to the Word of God to find that hope. Now, while we're there in Hosea chapter 14, I'd like to show you in chapter 14 what I have come to see as a pattern for reviving love that is withered. A pattern that I find in chapter 14 of Hosea for reviving love that is withered. I want you to turn and look at it with me, and let's just see the different elements of what is involved in restoring that love for one another. And again, we're not just talking about marriages, we're talking about any relationship that has been founded upon love. Now, let me remind you that the book of Hosea is really talking about God's relationship to Israel. That's the real message of Hosea. But to do that, he uses the prophet Hosea to present an object lesson, because we understand those better. And so here is the prophet. He takes a wife whose name is Gomer. And I know that's not a name that we would think of for any of our children today. But he takes this wife, Gomer, and for a while it looks like their relationship is wonderful, and then something happens. And it talks about how she bears children, two of which are not specifically assigned to him. It does not appear they are his children. In other words, she has gone off into immorality. And you might say, well, that relationship is severed. It's broken forever. There's no way of ever putting it back again. And yet God says, I want my people back. And I will show them the way to return to me. And I believe by looking at Hosea 14, we can see that pattern. So let's look at that. What would it take to revive the vitality of our love in these loving relationships? First of all, in verse 1 of Hosea chapter 14, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Now, first of all, there is the recognition and the acknowledgement. I've made mistakes. I have done things, I have said things, I have thought things that should not have been part of my thinking, my activity. And he says, you have done these things. They are iniquity. And acknowledge that. Come forth with it and then return. Too often we just walk away from relationships, though, and we have no desire to restore them. God says, return, because now you are acknowledging that what you have done is wrong. It is based on sin. And so there is that acknowledgement of mistakes and a return. Now go on to verse 2 and notice another element of that revival of love. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Take with you words? Well, simply it says, be ready to talk about it. Some people think, well, I'll just not say anything. We'll just move back into the way that we were and we'll be like we always were in the beginning. No, it's not that simple. You have to confront what was done that caused the problem to begin with. You have to be willing to say, I made a mistake. And so you think out these things. You're ready to talk about it. And then he goes on in verse 2 and says, furthermore, say to him, say to the Lord, take away all iniquity. And involved in that is a confession that we have sinned, that we have made our mistakes. Sometimes we try to act like we haven't, but we have. And so we come with those words saying, I have made a mistake. I want your forgiveness. That's what we're to say to the Lord, he says right there. It would also work with human relationships as well. And then once again in verse 2, he goes on to say, accept what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. And that tells me that we come with a proposal of corrective actions. Not only do we say, I have sinned and I want your forgiveness, but here is what I plan to do to try to make things better. Now, that may not be the right thing. We may have to alter that plan because we've not yet discussed it with the one that we have the relationship with, but we're thinking. We're ready to act. We're ready to say, I want to do this. Is this the right thing? Is this what would make you happy? Is that what would restore the relationship? And so you see again, those are the words that we come to God with and to one another, words that confess that we have made mistakes and that we need forgiveness and that we are proposing corrective actions. Then he goes on in verse 3. And here I see the idea of speaking or confessing the desire and the need for the relationship. He says this in verse 3, Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. In you the orphan finds mercy. And in all of that, God was saying, say it. Let it be known to yourself as well as to me that you know how vital it is that we have this relationship. And again, would that not be the case with us in our human relationships? I mean, why do we do this thing called Valentine's Day? Why do we get the cards? Why do we buy the candy? Why do we buy the flowers and all the other things that go along with it? Because it's important that we verbalize how important the relationship is to us. And without that, there is that feeling of, do you really care? Do you really see a need for our relationship? And God says, speak. confess that desire and the need for the relationship. And then in verses 4 through 8, we enter into a section that I believe shows the blessedness of accepting and receiving that forgiving love. The blessedness of that accepting and forgiving love. He says, beginning in verse 4 of Hosea chapter 14, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. Now notice, all of this comes after we have done what God prescribes, after we have recognized that we have made mistakes, after we return to the Lord, after we come with words that confess our sinfulness, after we come saying, Lord, here's what I will do. Then God responds. He says, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive. His fragrance like Lebanon. All of those are figures showing thriving, thriving relationship again. Beauty, wonderfully delighted in having that relationship. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. And then again, he says in verse 8, O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. God says, I want to bless you, but you have not taken the needed steps to revive the relationship. Now, why should we listen to any of this? I mean, these words were written a long time ago, and they were written for Israel, not for Christians particularly, not primarily. But go on to verse 9, because he says in verse 9 of Hosea 14, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. God recorded this for us, for people of all times afterward, in fact, because there is value in looking what God says to Israel and applying it to our relationship with Him, but also our relationship with others as well. In fact, you see in Luke chapter 15, that very familiar passage, the parable of the prodigal son. And you remember how the son broke that relationship with his father because of his selfishness, his desire to live in pleasure and wealth. And then all of it was gone. The son came to himself. And listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 19. And see if it doesn't match very closely the pattern that we just laid out in Hosea chapter 14. Jesus said, beginning in verse 17 of Luke 15, when he came to himself, that is the prodigal son, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise, I will return. He might have said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, he's coming with words, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And all those elements we saw in Hosea 14, right there in Luke 15, and look at how the father responds with lavish love. It works. It will work with human relationships as long as the other party is willing to look at it honestly and objectively. It's not like watering a plant, of course. When you water it, good things are going to happen. People are more complex than that. But when we do our part, how much more likely is it that that love can be revived? After all, God tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, here's what I want my people to be like. And again, put all of this in the framework of an evergreen love, a love that does not wilt, a love that does not quit. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's what God wants us to be. Not like people in the world who are glad to be together when things are going well, and when things get bad, they just move away. They break off the relationship. We're aiming for an evergreen love that does not wither, that does not die. I couldn't help but think of the song that was recorded in 1976 by Barbara Streisand entitled Evergreen. Don't know anything about the movie it was based on or that made it popular, but I like the words that appear in that song that speak of ageless and evergreen love. Ageless. Now, the body that I inhabit right now is not ageless. I am becoming more and more aware of that as time goes on. Things slow down, things break down, things wear out. Can it really happen with love that it could be ageless and evergreen? Remember, we serve a God who makes all things possible. And just like Moses saw in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, he beheld that bush that was on fire and did not consume itself. It did not go out. So the love that we have in our hearts for one another can be ever burning because we are focused on God. We are meditating in His Word. We are delighting in His will. And when things happen to damage relationships, we follow His will. Are you in relationship with God this morning? If not, God's made it so easy for us to make that relationship. We separated ourselves because of our sins. God says, come home. And if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so much that we're willing to turn away from our sins, repenting of them, if we're willing to confess Him before others and say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, I'm not ashamed of that. And if we're willing to put on Christ in the act of baptism, then we'll be in relationship with God when we leave this building. And then be faithful. Not perfect. We'll not be perfect. None of us can be. But as long as we're giving it our best and trying hard, we will be in relationship with God. And if anything pulls us off the path, we come home and we say, Father, I have sinned. Forgive me, I pray. And God, who wants to have the relationship with us, will bring us home. Can we help you this morning? Come as we stand and sing.